Today, the heat wave that forced July 4th cancellations up and down the East Coast is not just a weather story. It's the sound of a federal rule that could have saved lives, frozen by executive order. And while the country celebrated, Ukraine launched nearly 500 drones into Russia, and the army quietly erased a civil rights pioneer from its website. Let's start with the heat. From 2011 to 2022, 479 workers died from environmental heat exposure, about 40 people a year. Another 33,890 suffered heat-related injuries serious enough to keep them home from work. The Labor Department's Occupational Safety and Health Administration proposed a rule back in August of 2024 that would have required employers to provide water, shade, and paid rest breaks once the thermometer hit certain thresholds. That rule is still sitting in the pipeline, frozen by executive order under the current administration. And so, on a day when the heat index forced cancellations up and down the coast, there is no enforceable protection for the construction workers, farmhands, and event laborers who keep the country running. Those deaths are concentrated in black, brown, and low-income communities. Every day without a final standard is not an accident, it is a choice. Also today, Ukraine launched nearly 500 long-range drones into Russia, according to the Russian Defense Ministry. This is not just a battlefield escalation, it is a direct challenge to the Trump administration's stated goal of a negotiated settlement. The administration now has to decide whether to authorize strikes inside Russia, accelerate intelligence sharing, or pull back. It's a policy test that Congress will want to scrutinize, especially if U.S. munitions were used. Then there's this, quieter but maybe more telling. The U.S. Army removed its official webpage honoring Sarah Keyes Evans, a black veteran who, in 1952, refused to give up her bus seat, a full year before Rosa Parks. Her case led to a 1955 Interstate Commerce Commission ruling against separate but equal on interstate buses. The Army told Mother Jones the page was taken down to align with current guidance, the same language the Pentagon has used since President Trump's 2025 executive orders targeting DEI. This is erasure. Plain and simple, it applies Project 2025's playbook to strip racial equity from federal records. Across the country, California Governor Gavin Newsom is facing backlash for maintaining the state's policy that allows transgender athletes to compete in girls' sports after the Supreme Court's June 30th ruling in West Virginia versus BPJ. The court said states can ban trans athletes, but it didn't require it. California chose to keep its protections. That makes the state a target, but it's also a deliberate defense of Title IX, as California law reads it. Meanwhile, the death of Trooper Michael Pahira in Massachusetts is being used to push mass deportation narratives. But the real failure is a data-sharing gap between federal immigration databases and state DMVs. The driver, Michael Bonn, had his parole terminated and his TPS denied, but Massachusetts renewed his commercial driver's license anyway. After checking the Trump administration's own eligibility database and getting a green light, this is not a border failure. It is a licensing enforcement gap that the current administration's own system failed to catch. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut said on a podcast that if Democrats win the Senate, they must reform the filibuster. It's a rare, honest admission that the filibuster is the main tool blocking things like the Price Gouging Prevention Act and the PRO Act. Every day it stands, it locks in policies that harm working families. On housing, the low-income housing tax credit costs about $14.4 billion a year. And it's about to get bigger, thanks to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. But most of those units rent at levels affordable only to households earning 60% of area median income. That means a one-bedroom in Portland or Denver can run $100 to $400 to $1,800 a month, far out of reach for a minimum-wage worker or someone on disability. The program is expanding, but without a deep affordability set aside, it's building the same gap, just larger. And then there's the hypothetical. A Fox News snippet says President Trump plans a Mount Rushmore rally for the 250th Independence Day weekend. If it happens at a National Park Service site, it would raise Hatch Act concerns. Career Park Service staff could be pressured to facilitate a campaign-style event. The administration's broader push to politicize the federal workforce, outlined in Project 2025, makes that risk real. Finally, two foreign policy stories. Native American tribes are pushing the 2026 Farm Bill for indigenous food sovereignty, reauthorizing FDPIR with traditional foods, creating a tribal set-aside in conservation programs, and establishing a permanent indigenous food sovereignty office within USDA. And the Pentagon is leading earthquake relief in Venezuela with Marine Corps trucks airlifted by C-17. That's a commendable logistical feat, but it raises a question. Why is the military, not USAID, running the show in a country where Southern Command has conducted unilateral operations? A report in the bundle cites costs of at least $4.7 billion and 163 fatalities from those operations. But those figures cannot be independently verified from the materials we have. This is not just today's news. We at Project Daylight read Project 2025, the whole document, piece by piece. So far, 147 actions have been read, reframed, and logged. The full arc tracks 1,083 distinct actions on the record. The watch is constant. We document, we connect the dots, and we keep going. Next week, the House is expected to take up the 2026 Farm Bill, where tribal advocates will make their case for indigenous food sovereignty. Also on the calendar, the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee will hold a hearing on DHS data sharing with state DMVs following the Massachusetts trooper death. And the White House has not confirmed a date for the Mount Rushmore event, so that remains an open question. That's your briefing for July 4, 2026. I'm Gus Calloway. Stay cool out there, and we'll talk tomorrow.